We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard. He flies and slams. Aerial assault from Judah Mintz.
Looking to go back door to Bell. They get it to a mere corner three, knocks it down. Chris Bell, the sharpshooter.
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams searches ahead, up with the right hand and in. A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Well, from about 8:30 on Saturday night until 9:04 last night, that's Wednesday night, we're recording this Thursday, the Syracuse basketball program has been a complete mess. No bones about it. A total mess. Ian Unsworth, Johnny Gadamowicz, we're here to sort it all out. The thing that dragged Syracuse out of it was Chris Bell running back on defense with a chase down block to help Syracuse beat Louisville by the skin of its teeth for the second straight year, 94-92. Now, the bad news is Benny Williams is no longer with the program. You all know that. But we'll get into that in a second. And then Clemson on Saturday, Joe Girard's return. Again.
Busy week.
Good thing Chris Bell blocked that shot. Because if he didn't, things would be a lot different tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday morning. So let's get into it. Remember, follow us on Twitter. F68_Q, subscribe to the Field of 68 podcast network, and listen wherever you get your podcasts. So, Johnny, let's start here. Benny Williams, no longer with the program. I talk to people, you talk to people that are in Syracuse, that are very close to Syracuse men's basketball, and no one had a definitive answer for what led to Benny being kicked off the team. Now, new information could come to light. Things could happen later on that let us know, hey, this was the final straw. But as of right now, it was a build over time, and it had been going on since Jim Boeheim was the head coach.
Yeah, Ian, you and I haven't really had a chance to catch up on this even off the air too much,
No. But
I think I'd speak for both of us when I say that you saw that news trickle down when the team put out a statement on their social medias, and I was not surprised in the slightest. And I think a lot of Syracuse fans, maybe the initial shock of it, okay. But then when you have those couple extra seconds, those couple extra minutes to reflect, let's not forget about the drama, about the trials and tribulations that Benny kind of had following him ever since he kind of stepped foot on campus, right? Comes in with the prowess of being a highly touted recruit. And it really just never pans out. I think it's one of those things where I'm not left saying, oh, what could have been, because there was enough of a sample size where we know what Benny Williams was, right? Like, it's not as if, okay, I think the biggest on-court impact this has is, where does this leave Syracuse from a depth standpoint? Not, oh my goodness, what was Benny's impact on this team, and what is Syracuse now missing out on because he is no longer in the picture? The tape was out on him, the book was out on him, and it was just one of those things where it's unfortunate because you hope things go differently. You hope he takes those leaps that everyone seemed to predict every offseason. Oh, you get another year of Benny Williams, another year of, you know, those growing pains under his belt and the experience under his belt. We never saw it. It's an unfortunate situation all around, but one that I think for Syracuse almost, I don't know if helps is the right word, but one of those addition by subtraction type moves, if that makes sense.
I don't think it's going to make Syracuse any better. Let's not think that the Orange are suddenly going to make some magical run.
I don't think it makes them that much worse, though.
No, it's not going to end their season on a worse note than it was already trending towards. Let's be clear about that. Maturity, I think, ultimately came down to that. That's the word that Benny Williams could never grasp, right? Throughout last year, the ups and downs with Boeheim, the personal day that we still have no, like, there was never any more explanation other than personal day. And I'm sorry, but Jim Boeheim is an old school coach. And Johnny, you and I have both watched basketball for 22 years now. And besides the NBA, where guys are go out to the club until 2 a.m. and then take a personal day, you know, categorized under illness, I've never seen a college basketball player take a personal day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm so right there with you.
There are just some things that are better left unexplained with this situation, but there are red flags up and down.
I think it's weird, though, because, Ian, if you remember to a couple weeks ago, you know, I forget exactly what game it was after, but there was a game in post-game player availability when Benny came out and really did take that accountability. And right, I don't want to exactly quote him, but if my memory serves correct, was something to the effect of, hey, I haven't been a great teammate. And, you know, I don't know if he said I was a distraction, but essentially that he was beating around the bush saying, look, I don't want to take anything away, right? I know, let's leave the past in the past. I'm here. I'm ready to work. So I think the timing of it was really interesting. And you saw the frustration in the Wake game. There was the sequence where he threw the ball and gave Autry a little bit of a nudge. They sort of collided shoulders on the bench, with which Syracuse fans on Twitter were having a field day with, as far as that maybe being the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't buy that. I don't think that's the straw that broke the camel's back. All these players are aggressive and they show emotion. And clearly Benny has a way of showing that emotion that sometimes crossed the lines and sometimes was maybe a little bit more emphatic than his teammates and his peers. But I don't know. I think that the whole timing of it there was weird, because it felt like, even if the stats didn't reflect it, that he was starting to turn that maturity corner, so to speak, right? Of taking that accountability.
Yeah, and again, it's tough for us to say, because we're not there every day during practice. But the thing that I keep coming back to, Johnny, is something that when I went to the UNC game and then we hopped on the podcast after, I kind of brought up as an aside, after I think we had finished our short discussion about the game, because there wasn't much to discuss other than that was bad. Midway through the first half, when it all started to fall apart for Syracuse, Benny Williams was in the game, took a jumper, you know, kind of out of rhythm shot, not a great shot by any means, runs back down the floor, is getting set up to play defense, and Autry is yelling at him on the side, like, Red's on the sideline, and Benny is all the way on the other side of the court, but waiting for his man to get down there. And Red Autry is yelling at Benny, clearly pointing at him, and Benny has his back turned and doesn't turn around to acknowledge the coaching staff. It's one thing if you don't hear him, but it was clear. It was like 3 to 4 seconds. And it felt like that same thing was happening over and over and over again against Wake Forest, right? You just don't acknowledge the people that are trying to help you. And there's that's really tough, especially when it's your own demise, right?
Right.
No one.
He only has himself to blame.
Benny to get that technical. No one shoved him. He wasn't ticked off.
Right. Which is why I think adding to those weird vibes and sort of just the odd nature of the whole thing was some of the players hopping in the comment section of the team's post with the heartbreak emoji and the hand to the face emoji, right? You saw Judah, you saw Copeland, right? It's not as if, at least from the looks of that this was some guy who was a bad teammate, that was an all me type guy. Even if maybe there were instances like that, Ian, where you bring up where it's, what's going on here? What's his deal? Why is his back turned to the coaching staff? I don't think this is the type of player who was a bad
teammate, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Two different things.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I think Benny and the coaching staff just had a lot of differences, and that's kind of where it is. Hopefully that there's a place for him next year. I'm going to be honest, it's probably not at a Power 5 school, at least the way these past 2 years and change have gone, but hopefully he finds some place to where he can feel comfortable and fit in with the coaching staff and teammates and finish out his career. Because again, there's still potential. There's still
one year left of eligibility, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Or was his first year was COVID?
I believe so.
Okay. So maybe actually no, his first year was 2021.
Right.
So no, yes, 1 year of eligibility. You hit it on the nail.
Yeah.
All right. Without Benny Williams, Syracuse welcomed the Louisville Cardinals, lowly as they may be, to the JMA Wireless Dome Wednesday at 7. And Johnny, you were trying to take a dump on Kenny Payne. And usually that's my job. But I said, hold on. This team seems to be figuring it out and at least playing for one another. And they could come in and give Syracuse a game.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they did just that. It was 94-92.
Yeah.
49-45 at the end of the first half. Louisville outscores them in the second half. And if anyone watching the game you could be listening to the game, you could have been you could read a recap and just tell that Syracuse did not play a physical brand of basketball. Out-rebounded by 19, and Louisville had 40 points in the paint, including a bajillion straight-line drives past Judah Mintz.
Yeah, Kenny Payne's making me eat my words a little bit tonight, Ian. Syracuse kind of got away with highway robbery a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
When you mentioned those numbers, and then not only that, but the way the basketball game ended, right? Like, I think everybody who saw that replay was on the same page where that didn't really look like a goaltend all too much. Now, granted, Malik Brown comes flying in and lays it in anyway, but just sort of another thing that you can throw under the rug as far as a reason why maybe this game very easily could have gone the other way. Because also I was listening to some ESPN Syracuse content throughout the day, and Ryan Higgins, one of their hosts, brought up a great point in that at that point, Louisville had the possession arrow, right? So if the right call is made in time, dead ball, they go to the review, they say, okay, not a goaltend. Louisville gets the ball, tie game, a chance to go down and win it. And it could easily have been the reverse. Weird.
Sky Clark, even with all that, Sky Clark still had a three-pointer.
And open. He got it up the court rather quickly, considering there was only 3 seconds left, right? So I don't know. I mean, with the whole Benny thing hanging over everybody's heads too, like the vibes were just very odd. I mean, Louisville coming in, probably the worst team in the conference. Who knows after last night? But this is a game where, look, I hate the cliches. Any win is a win, right? Like you take the W's when you can get them, particularly in conference season. But I don't know how.
I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm butting in. And I'm probably going to agree with you here. This is not a top three, top four team in the ACC that just needs to win and string it along until they get to the NCAA tournament.
You got to prove something.
Good non-conference resume in front of the selection committee. At this point, you need to be winning for growth. Does that make sense? Unless Syracuse somehow, some way beats Clemson, North Carolina, and Clemson again, Virginia Tech, like, unless Syracuse wins about six of its last eight games, and two of those wins are over Clemson and North Carolina.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's just not happening.
Yeah.
So you need to be winning for growth, and winning by two and giving up just free lanes to the basket is not winning for growth.
I agree. I can't push back on that because you're not wrong in any regard of what you just said. I think where I'm coming from is more, okay, at the end of the day, you found a way to win the game, right? Even in a game where you get dominated on the glass, where you're dealing with adversity, with the Benny thing, you're coming off two straight losses, something you haven't had to deal with in a little while now. And you still find a way to persevere and get out there. And on a night where the dome's kind of quiet, not a lot of people appeared to pack the house last night in central New York. And now, at the very least, you've made things interesting going into Clemson. Because I think we can agree, Ian, if that was a loss last night, I mean, what are we doing here, right? If last night goes the other way, then all these conversations of hypothetical this, hypothetical that, they have no merit to them. But now, which we'll touch on more coming up on the back end here, with Joe Girard coming back, with Clemson being towards the top of the conference type team, you've kept yourself, I don't know if in the conversation is the right phrase to use there, with the connotation that, you know, in the conversation comes with in college basketball, but still you've made things interesting, and you've put yourself in a position where you have the ability to now keep things interesting just a little while longer.
They have momentum, I guess, if that's what you're trying to say. They're 6-6 in conference play. I mean, right now, the best case scenario is Syracuse either wins all those games that I mentioned and somehow sneaks back on the bubble, which is a very, very minute chance. Or right now, you just don't want to be playing on the first day of the ACC tournament. I think that's something everyone can agree on. You plan that Tuesday game, unless you're a deep team that can really build momentum, is not a recipe for success. Syracuse is not deep, it is not old, and doesn't play very physical. And when you can't do those things, it doesn't turn out well in tournament time.
And back as of recently, hasn't made their free throws.
Yeah. Yes, 22 of 33. Judah at one point was like 5 for 10, finished 9 for 15. So, woof. Two things we should touch on. At least two main things pointed out by the coach, Seth Greenberg, who actually was Red Autry's head coach for 4 years at Virginia Tech before Red came to Syracuse. And personally, he's one of my favorites when it comes to calling college basketball, because you don't hear him do games that often, but he cuts it straight. And he ripped on Syracuse for a decent portion of this broadcast, not only for the Matador defense, which was horrific, but not adjusting. I mean, if we're going to be completely honest, Louisville's a bad shooting team. Worst shooting team in the ACC when it comes to the three ball. But you could tell midway through the first half that the Cardinals were confident they were going to get three-point shots, and they made them. They were 11 for 25. Autry switched to the zone. And the zone just got carved up.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing. Even in zone, you have to guard a man when the ball is in their hands. Guys look stapled to their spots. That's why there were no rebounds. Guys were stapled to their spots watching the basketball. You just have to look like you want to care on the defensive end, especially when you see a team making some threes. Packing the zone is one thing, but go back to man. Someone take responsibility and tell Autry, I want to be the guy that gets a stop. Put me on Sky Clark. Put me on Trey White. Let me make a play.
So I think there's two things there. One is that now this is very dangerously becoming a trend. You give up 80 to Boston College. You give up 99 to Wake. You give up 92 to Louisville. This defense, which up until this
year, all over again.
Yeah, it is. And up until this recent three-game stretch, and I think I said this on one of our episodes last week, it felt like this is by far the most the defense has let them down this year. That's the first part of it. The second part of it, Ian, to your point about somebody stepping up and saying, hey, I want to be the guy to get a stop. I'm just not convinced they have that guy right now. And that's not to say you don't continue to adjust and make changes and adapt on the fly like you were alluding to. But I don't know. Like, this team is not littered with lockdown defenders in the same way that they're not littered with shooters.
When does pride come into it?
Because yeah, you can miss
all the shots you want, but you got to have some sort of pride on defense to not let someone go right by you.
And it's interesting in that I bring up those shooting woes that Syracuse has. You would think more often than not, the teams that aren't great shooting teams and aren't going to, shoot you out of the gym, they'll make up for it on the defensive end and be that more, grind, defensive oriented, really make you earn your points type team. It feels like this Syracuse team is like somewhere kind of in the middle, right? Like even when they're at their best here, Ian, like I don't know what the identity really is, right? We've covered Syracuse teams for the better part of the past 3 or 4 years now, and you can point to different years and rather easily say what comes to mind about that squad. And here we are in the second week of February now. I still don't really know what it is. And maybe that's a culture thing. Maybe that needs to be addressed more up front of, hey, we're Syracuse basketball. We're going to do this. When you play Syracuse, you can expect to see a lot of fill in the blank. I don't think you can really fill in the blank with that with this team this year.
Well, it used to be the 2-3 zone, but when your identity isn't working, you got to change it.
Right.
But now when you go back, again, I digress on the defensive end. Offensively, in the past years, it was the shooting. The three-point shooting was certainly the thing that carried Syracuse through some tough games and kept them in some other games. I think about Cole Swider putting up like 31 in the Dean Dome, just getting unconscious, and that's the only reason why that game was close. Johnny, I think you and I were listening to that in a hotel in Evanston, Illinois, if I remember.
Yes, we were. I remember it well, which also I should, quick sidebar here, 2 years ago today, we were in Conte Forum.
Oh, yes, trying to get connected to the internet so we could get on the air for WAER. We did get on the air, but that was a mess. Other thing, Coach Greenberg, back to his viewpoint, was very critical of the Syracuse offense in the second half because Quadir Copeland was the only guy. Well, Copeland and Brown, but Brown's not a ball handler, was the only guy that was driving to pass and not what he said was playing with the ball. What he means is when a player catches the basketball, right, your defender has to react in some way, shape, or form. People talk about attacking the closeout or getting in triple threat position when you were playing, first grade CYO ball, so you can drive, shoot, or pass. If you catch the ball and then dribble it back and forth and go through your legs behind your back, hesitation, in, out, cross, but you don't go anywhere, what's the point? And there were a lot of Judah possessions in the second half, especially, where you could tell the free throw thing was getting to his head. He wasn't sure if he wanted to drive, certainly didn't want to shoot. So he just stand there and kind of waste 4 or 5 seconds by just dribbling back and forth. And everyone else just stood there and watched. So defensively, you don't have an identity, to go back to your point, Johnny. And offensively, your best player, like, you, if you want to play Judah Hero ball and that's your identity, sure, be my guest, like, whatever at this point. But if Judah's not bought into playing Hero ball because he can't score in the most proficient way that he has over the first two thirds of the season, then you're really lost.
Yeah, it's weird because you would think for a guy like Judah, who obviously has the prowess and the pedigree that he does, where his identity is more, okay, let's get to the cup. Like, you want him to be a guy who is capable of distributing as well, right? Like, you would think, okay, a real slasher like he is, get to the rack, draw a double, kick out to the open man. And he hasn't really done a ton of that, right? Like, it seems like the point guards who take on that persona have a knack for racking up the helpers and racking up the assists. And with Judah, we haven't really seen that, right? Like, he's kept that same mindset of, okay, I'm going to get downhill and I'm going to take you to the rim, which, to his credit, he should. That's what he's best at. But I'd love to see his facilitating game develop a little more. I think, to your point, Ian, yeah, there was a lot of sort of weird no man's land hesitation. And when I say hesitation, I don't mean with the basketball. I mean hesitation mentally of, what am I doing here? And yeah, particularly when you've got the Chris Bells of the world, the Justin Taylors of the world, I see no reason why he can't try to make it a point a little bit more to drive and kick. And that drive and kick hasn't been nearly as big of a part of his game this year as you would think when you consider the type of player that he is.
The drive and dish, too. Watch Quinton Copeland get to the basket and then do every single twister stretch he can to dish it off to Malik Brown or to get it to the opposite corner. Like, that's how Chris Bell will get his best looks. Chris Bell, by the way, 30 freaking points, 8 of 10 from 3. He's mastered the flyby, where you pump fake, take one sidestep dribble, then rip a three.
Right.
He's got that in the bag. Like, he did it about 4 or 5 times, and the Cardinals bit every single time. And after, Autry sat him down, kind of had a conversation with him on the bench about getting his head in the game on defense. He finishes with 6 rebounds and the game-saving block, as it be. So even though, Johnny, we've been all, you know, we've been pretty negative right here, we haven't been the kindest to Chris Bell all season, and he played a damn good game.
He did. But now, you know, let's see something beyond 5 points on 1 of 7 shooting with 2 boards in 30 minutes come Saturday. And I think until he sees that, again, I give him the props for a good game, but how many times are we going to sing this same song and then, you know, a couple weeks later, get after him for, oh, Chris Bell's been quiet for the past 4 or 5 games, and then I'll do this again. I think on and on we go.
Yeah, other than that, Starling with 19. Malik Brown had a great game. 11-9-5 assists, 6 blocks, which is a nuts number considering Huntley Hatfield, his opposition, scored the most points for Louisville on their team and is also 2 inches and 20 pounds bigger. And Brown also had 5 steals. So, I mean, honestly, this is just another.
And he didn't miss a shot. He was a perfect 4 of 4 too.
Just another Malik Brown game. Nothing really to write home about.
It feels like after every game, you know, just surfing Twitter, there's some sort of obscure tweet that is put out of Malik Brown is the first player since X year to have a game with X points, X rebounds, X assists, X blocks. It's crazy. I mean, you can't say enough about what he brings from a versatility standpoint, and he's become someone that Syracuse is now relying on rather heavily.
Yeah, it's going to be a crime if he's not all ACC once the year finishes up. All right, enough about Louisville. Again, one of those games that hopefully we'll look back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and it was just a win, and maybe it was a starting point for something, but right now it doesn't exactly leave you feeling the most comforted when looking at the box score or watching the game back. We'll take a break, hear from Rob Doster, and then talk about Joe Girard and the Clemson Tigers.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
Joe Girard and Clemson come back to the Dome. This is a Tiger team that at one point people thought was down and out in the ACC, but after ripping off a big old win in the Dean Dome after UNC beat Duke, the Clemson Tigers are back on the block and back on the national spotlight. Overall, 15-7, probably one of Brad Brunell's best coaching jobs. This is now your typical college basketball team, Johnny. You have to get old. And you have to stay old. And if you look up and down Clemson's roster, senior, fifth-year senior, junior, sophomore, senior, transfer. Like, all of these dudes are old, they're battle-tested, and they're tough. And I think they are tougher than Syracuse.
I wouldn't dispute that, especially after they are now, I believe it is 2-60 all time at UNC after that win back on Tuesday night, taking down a top five team in the country. They're going to come in hot. They're going to come in feeling good. The energy is going to be flowing, and all because number 11 makes his return to the Dome. And, you know, there's all sorts of talk this week about, you know, what kind of reception is he going to get? Is it going to be cheers? Is it going to be boos? We won't get too concerned with that, but where I will get concerned with, Ian, is the fact that this is the type of game, and we saw it for years, where, you know, kind of similar to what Chris Bell has done now, where he picks and chooses when he shows up. This is a game where if you're Syracuse, you better make sure you're doing everything you can to minimize Joe Girard's impact on this basketball game. PJ Hall is going to draw the attention, as he should. He's probably the best, quote-unquote, player that Clemson brings to the table. But this Syracuse defense now that has been reeling, we saw Girard make a couple of big shots against North Carolina down the stretch in that second half, yep, midweek. He's going to be feeling it. And I think if you're Syracuse, this perimeter defense, you know, not to mention the interior defense, which is going to have its work cut out for it with PJ Hall, but you better make sure that your guards are quick on their feet at all times, and guys are closing out on shooters and doing everything they can to make life difficult for the Tigers' perimeter players, particularly Girard himself.
Who do you think is going to feel more emotion on Saturday? Is it Joe Girard or is it Syracuse? Like, is Joe Girard more jacked up to play well in the Dome, or is Syracuse more jacked up to stop Joe? Like,
I think it has to be Girard. Yeah. I think it's Girard. Because think about it. This is a kid who grew up in upstate New York, right? Glens Falls native, near the Albany area, about 2 hours east of Syracuse. You know, was a stud quarterback in high school, stays close to home, you know, the hometown kid, so to speak, staying in his home state. And he was the guy, right? I mean, as much as it was Judah last year, as much as, you know, Buddy Boeheim and Elijah Hughes going back a couple of years were were integral to what Syracuse did. It always felt like Joe was that glue guy. And even if, you know, stuff wasn't going Syracuse's way, they could always fall back on Joe Girard going out there and giving you a solid 32, 33 minutes every night. You knew what to expect, and he was going to be that leader. And I think for him, you know, when you walk back into a building like the Dome, I'm sure those emotions are going to be flowing.
I don't know, Johnny. I guess you and I have different memories of Girard. I remember him disappearing sometimes in some pretty big spots. But either way, P.J. Clark is one of our good buddies from Syracuse. The P.J. Hall problem is a bit more pressing, all things considered, because he is a monster. 6'10", 240, can score over either hand, shoots the three well for a big, and had one of his best three-point shooting games of the year against UNC. He made four of them. Like, Malik Brown is going to get put in a torture chamber, as we saw Baycott do. I mean, Clemson will, if they follow UNC's game plan, have Hall beat everyone down the floor, post up early, and seal Brown underneath the hoop. Two fouls first half, and about 8 to 10 easy points. Because the thing about Clemson is they rebound well as a team. They rebound really well as a team. It's not just Hall. It's Ian Shefflin, who had 11 boards against UNC, four of those on the offensive end. Chase Hunter, pretty big guard, and his brother Dylan. Jack Clark, sharpshooter from North Carolina State, who also, yep, he plays the three, but oh yeah, he's also 6'10". Like, this is a big team, and they play like it. Girard is going to be the smallest dude out there on the court at all times.
Yeah, they have a lot of size, and to bring it kind of full circle here, Ian, before we wrap up, you know, we mentioned one of the biggest problems, no more Benny, you know, that sort of lack of depth. Two quick Malik Brown fouls in this basketball game, and I don't know what the heck the game plan is for Red Autry. Might we be seeing double-digit minutes from Peter Carey? I wouldn't feel confident Peter Carey going toe-to-toe with P.J. Hall if Malik gets into foul trouble.
Yeah, P.J. Hall is not D.J. Burns.
No.
I think Peter Carey might end up being chop suey underneath the hoop, but Syracuse right now is projected as a 2-point underdog by KenPom, if you can believe that. Just 2 points. But home court advantage plays into that. And also, the numbers don't bake in the weirdness around the Syracuse basketball program over the past week and a half. Again, KenPom still thinks Benny Williams is on the team. So don't take analytics too seriously. That's the final point we'll leave you with. But if Syracuse gets out physical, loses by 20, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. If the game is close, if JG3 gets booed every single time he touches the ball and misses every single one of his threes, I won't be surprised either, because we saw that too. That'll wrap it up here on Red is the New Orange with Johnny Gadamwitz, Ian Unsworth, signing off. Follow us on Twitter at F68_Cuse. Follow the Field of 68 podcast network as well, and check us out on Apple Podcasts, Megaphone, wherever else you get your podcast, and listen on your commute, on your run, on your workout, however you like to do it. You can stick with us throughout the entirety of the season, no matter how good or bad it ends. Tip off at noon Saturday. Enjoy the game and enjoy your weekend. Go Orange.